the battle. We talked about the times of refreshing, the times of rest that we enter into at times. We have periods where life is good. Life is wonderful. Things are going very smoothly. How many like to always be smooth? Come on, say amen. Make me right. Yeah. We all like our lives to be just smooth sailing. And but how many realize that it's in those times that sometimes we are the most vulnerable to attack?
No.
Yeah. Because we have a tendency to let our guards down. How many have ever realized that after a revival and a good time of refreshing and life is good, that there's a tendency to kind of let your guard down? And the enemy is just waiting for you to do that. We're going to talk about Amalek and the Amalekites, who were a nomadic tribe, and they were vicious. They actually found pleasure in killing people. And they would attack the weak and the stragglers in the camp of Israel as they were making their way through the journeys in the wilderness. And they would come from the rear and they would pick off the weak ones. And isn't that just like the devil? And it's our times also when we're tired and we're weary and we've been struggling for a long season that we find ourselves under attack. I mean, you know, the devil likes to kick you while you're down, right? But that's not our Jesus. He wants to lift you up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you turn your Bibles this morning, we're going to just read this again for a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin with verse 1. How many would agree with me today that the devil wants God's people to be inactive? And whenever you determine to be active and to step out in faith, there's a giant. But then again, you can't be neutral, you can't be lukewarm. When you're in a battle, you got to fight. You can't be passive, amen, in this battle. And so the only way for you and I to advance to the next level is to knock out some giants, is to overcome some enemies, is to go forward for Jesus. Amen? It's not about being passive. It's not about being complacent. It's not about sitting around toasting marshmallows and talking about the good old days. Precious memories. Thank God for memories, but you can't live out of memories. You got life and breath. You got responsibility. You got something you can do for Jesus, right? Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In other words, it was a warning. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's in that place where we begin to get confident, not in Christ, but in self. I'm doing pretty good. How's your life doing? Oh, tip top. How's your spiritual life? Oh, couldn't be better. Well, how many know that we need to always have a humble attitude towards our spiritual life? How many know we always have to have a teachable spirit? We always have to be in that place where we realize that we are really impoverished in our spirit apart from Christ. There are times when we have refreshing and we are full and life is good and we can say, hey, life is good in the God zone. My spiritual life, I'm doing good right now. You know? But we have to be careful that we don't try to camp in what happened yesterday. We don't want to be campers, we want to be claimers. And if you try to camp and the Lord has moved on, guess what? You're going to find yourself vulnerable because He's our protection. It's not a matter of God lining up with me and what I want. It's you and I following the Lord. Amen? Continually following the Lord. And so, in the time of inactivity, in the time when we begin to think that we stand, what that really means is that there's pride in me and that I feel like I really don't need to pray today. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church today. I'm fine. I'm doing good. Come on. I'm closer to God out there on the fishing boat. I think you're closer to the fish, actually, but this isn't a thing. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about gathering together with the saints. Amen? If you need to take a vacation, get away, do it. But beware of that mentality of thinking that you stand. Because how many have witnessed that many times? I've seen many people, and I'm including myself at times, where I just think that I'm good. I'm good, God. You know? The Lord's saying, hello? Hello? He's just going to take... Oh, okay. I mean, you know, He doesn't force Himself on you. He said, I had something that I wanted to impart in you today before you took off. I needed to give you something for your journey. Because I know what's going on up ahead of you, and you don't. Maybe you ought to sit down for a spell and listen. Maybe you ought to spend a little time with me today. First of all, because I want you. I need you. I desire you. God wants us. And He wants us to want Him. Amen. He desires you. And He desires you to desire Him. So we want to be with the Lord. And what happened here is the children of Israel began to wander. And they began to just kind of get into a cruise mode. You know? How many of you know what the cruise mode is? You're just kind of going along and you're...
I dreamt of it.
You're basking in the lukewarm water, and it's nice here, it's comfortable. It's, you know, some may call it armchair Christianity, you know? Ah, yes. Life is good. And God's about getting ready to mess you up, though. Because He doesn't want to leave you in that marred state. He wants you to grow up. And He wants you to enter into your inheritance. He wants you to enter into the promise that He has for you. He wants you at the end of your road to receive the prize that He has for you. He wants you to do well, and He knows that if you're in a race and you start taking too much time out, come on, it's not good for you. You're not going to reach your destiny. How many know there's a time and there's a season for everything under the sun? There's a time to camp and there's a time to move. And so what happens is when they find themselves in this place called Rephidim, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to read about this. It means refreshing. This is where the water came from the rock. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. That's resting or refreshing. Place of refreshing. Didn't say he came and fought with them in a place, in a desert place, but this was a place where God had now provided water from the rock. And that rock represented who? Christ. Amen. We just read that. So this is a people who are receiving what? Refreshing from the Lord. This was not a dry place. Refreshing. But what was happening is they became inactive in that place. How many know that it's wonderful and it's right for us to worship God? It's wonderful and it's right for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's not right for us to receive from the Lord and do nothing with it. It's not right for us to just receive and not give. And it's in the place of inactivity that the Amalek, the enemy of our soul, is going to attack. Amalek really represents the flesh man. Amalek was a descendant from Esau. Esau was a type of the flesh man, the earthly man. And so Amalek and these armies were constantly on the tail of Israel, tormenting them and looking for the stragglers, looking for the ones who had kind of allowed themselves to get weak. Not always was it because it was their choice, but how many know that we have a variety of folks even here today? Some of us are stronger than others. What are the stronger supposed to do? We're supposed to support the weak. Amen? Not so that we will be perpetually supporting the weak and creating codependence, right? But what we want to do is we want to strengthen them. We want to impart into them what they need so that they can learn how to walk and how they can walk effectively with the Lord themselves. And then they, in turn, will also reach out and help others up. So we don't want to feed into weakness and in a way empower people to continually be weak and to depend on us. Are you with me? But the enemy knows where we are right now. He knows where you're at in your walk. He knows where you're at with your stand. He knows what you think a lot of times as well. And he knows when you think that you're standing too. And it's sometimes it's the pride of life, you know, that keeps us in a place where we don't acknowledge that, God, I don't have it all together. Come on. If you want to get it together, you got to realize you don't have it together. That's the first step, isn't it? Yeah. We have to come to a place where we say, I don't have it all together. And you know, I try to live there because I know I don't. If we're all honest with ourselves, we'll realize there's just shortcomings in all of us. We're all in the process of growing up. We're all in the process of being more like Jesus, being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. God is moving us on. But if we have an attitude that we stand, if we have an attitude that we're good. You know, I mean, some people are naturally, they have a strong will. And we can misinterpret that strong will as being spiritually strong. How many remember Peter? Peter was a strong-willed individual. Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. You know, and Peter was the outspoken type. Peter was the one that would get in your face. You know, and he's even the one that hacked the guy's ear off, amen, when they tried to take Jesus. But Peter thought that within himself he had what it took to stand up for Jesus, amen, and to overcome. And so the Lord had to allow Peter to fall on his face so that he would realize that, Peter, you really don't have it together without me. You're going to have to learn to depend upon me, just as I depended upon my Father. So you need to depend on me. Now, if Jesus needed to depend upon the Father, how much more do we need to depend upon the Lord? Amen. We can't do it. And it's this delusion. It's this deception. The devil wants you to believe that you're standing. And blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen? Those who realize that they don't have what it takes to produce life on their own. Our life is in Christ. And so here they are. Verse 8, they fought. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. This is in the place of refreshing. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Sit around in campfire and toast marshmallows. And fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
You got to fight with Amalek. I mean, you know that we have a daily struggle with Amalek, that flesh nature. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out, listen, the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I mean, you know that the Lord wants the flesh completely destroyed. Amen? The flesh nature, the old nature, has to completely be put to death. It has to die. That old nature cannot be allowed, amen, to live. And the only way you're going to cause that thing to die is to recognize that you do not have what it takes, amen, to overcome your flesh. You do not have what it takes to overcome your flesh nature apart from the grace of God. And therefore, a recognition that my life is in Him. Amen? And when I walk in the Lord, when I am a worshiper of God, I have victory over my flesh. How many have discovered that to be true? When you are a daily worshiper of God, how many know when we say worship, we're not just talking about singing songs? But that's part of it. What it means is that I present my body every day to God. And my life is going to be an expression of praise, an expression of worship to Him. And what I say and what I do. Amen?
Amen.
And that means I'm going to sing to Him as well. I'm going to praise. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to Him.
Yes.
Amen? I'm going to walk with Jesus every day. Stay connected. And when Amalek comes to attack, all you're going to say is, Jesus, help. Lord, help. Come on. Don't try to defeat the enemy on your own. Amen? If we allow ourselves to become spiritually lazy, we're setting ourselves up for fall. Yeah. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He made a distinction here, didn't he? And again, I said this last week, but if Jesus had to pray, who are we to think that we can do it on our own? And how do we overcome the flesh man? We overcome the flesh man the same way Jesus did, by walking with the Father in obedience. 1 John 5 and 4 says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Overcoming faith. What is overcoming faith? Overcoming faith is not a passive faith. Amen? It's not a faith that sits around and toasts marshmallows. It is a faith that says, God has promised me the land, but I have to obey Him and I have to go in and possess the land. God has given me a promise, but I have to obey Him and I have to knock out a few giants on the way to that promise. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but He did say that He would be with you when you went through the waters. Amen? And through the fire, He said, you shall not be burned. So we know that our God is for us. And because we know He's for us, we know He's going to be with us. And if you will call on the name of the Lord, you will be delivered. If you will walk with Him carefully every day, and when you worship the Lord, and when you walk in a place of devotion to Him and worship to God, the Amalek, the flesh man, does not rule you. How many have discovered that that's the real battle, isn't it? It's the old nature that we battle. You hear a lot of people that they're just constantly talking about the devil. Now, I know there are times when the devil does attacks, and that's a different situation. All right? There are times when we have to battle demons. Would you agree? But the enemy can only operate through the flesh or carnal or natural man. He attacks us in that realm of the flesh, the old nature. So he's trying to constantly get us to disconnect so that the flesh nature begins to rise up again and to dominate the new nature. Come on, there's a battle going on in your head. And it begins with your thought life and what you're thinking, what you're watching, what you're listening to, the company that you hang out with. Come on. They're either going to build you up or tear you down. Hang out with people that love Jesus, that are there to help you. Amen? And hang out with people that love you enough to tell you the truth. And when we do tell the truth to somebody, be very careful how you do it. Gentleness and respect. Hebrews 11 and 6, the latter part of that verse says that God is a rewarder of those who sit around and toast marshmallows. Now, if you like marshmallows, don't get upset with me, all right? You know what I'm saying? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does that mean? That's not a passive term, folks, right? Are you with me? How many have discovered that you don't go anywhere if you're passive? How many know that when you're sitting around a campfire, you're not going anywhere? How many know there's times when you need to sit around the campfire and warm yourself? All right? God gives you those times, those breaks, but be very careful that you don't camp too long there. Elijah spent some time by the brook, didn't he? And God was providing for him. Amen. The ravens. Amen. He could drink water from the brook. God was providing for Elijah in that place. But the time came when the brook dried up. Why? Not because God was being mean, but God was saying, Elijah, it's time for you to move on. Because if you don't move on when I tell you to, you're going to miss your destiny. So we've got to be open to say, God, when you tell me to move, I'm going to move. When you say sit, I'll sit. When you say speak, I'll speak. When you say be quiet, I'll be quiet. That's hard for me to do, but I'm learning how to do that. People that know me know I'm not really that much of a talker. Bruce, am I a talker? He's the guy I used to remember. I used to turn to. Isn't that right, Keith? He's my big brother. So I just turned to him, and Bruce would say, "Keith says yes." Yeah, he was my Aaron. Yeah. James 5:17 says that Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. He didn't do a "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. He prayed earnestly. How many of there are times you really need to press in prayer? You need to break through. There is opposition. There's a battle going on. You're going to have to fight sometimes the giants of complacency and apathy that just want you to go to sleep. As long as you're asleep, the devil will leave you alone. And sometimes people like that. They don't want to be in the battle, so they quit. But they forfeit their destiny. How many know it's not enough to start well in a race? You've got to get to the finish line to get the prize. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. That means earnest entreaty. An earnest entreaty for all the saints. We find ourselves in this situation here where Joshua is called to go out and fight the armies, amen, of Amalek. But Moses went up with Aaron and Hur upon the hill, and Moses lifted up the rod of God. What does the rod of God represent? It represents the authority, amen, of God. And as long as they took authority over the enemies, took authority over their flesh, took authority over the enemies of God, amen? And that rod was lifted up, the battle was going in the favor of Joshua. But whenever Moses got weary and his arm began to sink, then the battle would begin to turn. How many know that we are a team? How many know that Moses wasn't a lone ranger? Moses had people around him to help support him. Amen. He was a prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Those intercessors are up on the mountain praying. And there's other people that in the same kingdom were all going in the same direction. But you got your intercessors. You got your prayer people. Amen. And you got your people that are boots on the ground. And I think we are boots on the ground, church. But we need everybody doing their part, amen? We need to also be praying. There's times when we need to be interceding, and there's times when we need to be battling the giants, amen? Right. If we want to get to our destiny, we've got to obey God in this. But I want to tell you folks, if you think you're just going to just sit around, you know, and be passive and get to where God wants you to go, it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, it was in the time of refreshing and the time of rest, if you will, that Amalek also attacked the camp. Why? Because they were getting weak. Whoa. Joshua had to go out and fight Amalek. And they worked together. I mean, you know that God has given His people, that means you and I, also a rod. How many believe today that God has given you a rod? Like He did Moses. What He's done is He's given to His church authority over all the works of the enemy. Over all the works of the enemy. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God has given you authority over your sin nature. God has given you the ability to say no. God has given you the authority to put that part of you to death every day and say, no, I'm not going to live that life anymore. That old man is dead. Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. When you get up in the morning, you say, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God, and I'm going on to victory. Amen? Me and Jesus together are a majority, and we're going to make it. And God has brought us together and given you brothers and sisters and people. And He's brought people into your life. How many know that you can call me anytime? You should be able to call anyone of the people in here if you need somebody to pray with. Amen? Amen? There's times when we need somebody to hold our hands up because we're getting weak. Because the battle sometimes goes long. And we need people to back us up also when we find ourselves in the battle itself. To hold us up, to lift us up. And I thank God for you because we are a church that does that. We have a group of people here who do pray. I thank God for you guys and those of you who pray for me. Because I can't do this without your help. Amen. We are a team. We got to work together. I'm not a lone ranger. Moses wasn't a lone ranger, and I'm not either. And neither should you be. Well, I'll just sit home and have my church, me and my TV. Well, if you can't get out to church, that's understood. But we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Why? Because we need each other. God designed us to need one another. So who are we going to obey? Quit trying to tell God what to do. Let Him tell you what to do. I know nobody's ever tried to do that, but God, you know, it would be much better if you did it this way. But I don't know about you, but I've had many times where I have reasoned with God about something, and I prayed a certain way that strategically that God, you need to do it this way, because this is what really works. And then later down the road, when God didn't do it my way, but He did do it in another way, but it was still good. And then I realized that if I had had my way, it wouldn't have. We've got to be very careful. The people reasoned in the wilderness. They got disgruntled. They began to complain. You know, God gave them water from the rock and He gave them the manna to eat. And there was a reason for that, because God was trying to teach them to listen to Him and to trust Him first. Learn how to trust God, amen, in the lean times, so that when God would bring them into the land, it wouldn't destroy them. Come on, America has been drowned because of our prosperity. We've forgotten God. What do I need God for, we think? How many know that sometimes God will bring you through a lean place that you may learn that He is a faithful God, that He will provide for you, and then He can trust you when you do get something more than what you've got now. But unfortunately, sometimes we never even learn the lesson with a little. And so we're not faithful to give with what God has already given to us. Come on. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to say something about this, because we look at the examples in Scripture. We look at Moses. We look at Joshua. We look at these great men of God. We look at Elijah. And James had referred to him, remember? And he said he was a man of like passion, with like passions as us. He was just like us. You know? And we say, oh, I could never be like... Well, they all had their issues too. Come on. There's not a one in there that didn't have something going on. And there's a reason why that's there. So you can have some hope when you fall on your face. You can get back up and say, well, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to learn from that. Just keep on going. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. But the prayer of faith, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Who is a righteous man? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And therefore, your prayers are necessary. It is going to be the prayers of the people of God, I want you to hear this, of the saints that are going to ushering the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the fact that you and I have prayed for His kingdom to come. That we have prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. There's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And so we must pray His kingdom in and His will to come and be done on the earth. That's the authority God has given us, to raise the rod. When we raise the rod, the enemies will be defeated. And there's times when we need to hold up one another. Strengthen one another. Encourage one another. Moses had to lift his hands. He found strength in the gathering, listen, of two or three. Whenever two or more, right, gather together in my name, there I am in your midst. Moses understood that the battle was the Lord's. And Moses had to exercise his God-given authority in prayer. Moses didn't trust in his own ability, but he lifted the rod of God until there was a final victory. Not a partial victory. Because the Lord said in verse 14 that he's going to utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And that happened under King Hezekiah later on, where Amalek was completely blotted out. There were several other battles. There's one with Saul, and there was battles with David, and then later on, the sons of Simeon in the time of Hezekiah, when Amalek was taken care of, just as God said he would be. So why don't I want to submit to Amalek? Why do I need to be careful? Why do I need to be watchful? First of all, because the devil hates you, and he wants to take you out. Would you agree? But most importantly, the reason why I don't want my flesh nature to rule me is because I love God. And because I love people. And when I allow my flesh nature to rule, I'm not loving anybody else either. Are you know what I'm saying here, right? Oh, my sin doesn't affect anybody. Yes, it does. But also because I love myself. Oh, I know. Some of you say, oh, I don't love myself. If you didn't love yourself, then you wouldn't be so upset when you failed. Does God want us to love ourselves? Yes. If you love yourself, you're gonna obey God. You know, that's a whole different message. But it's really a myth of self-hatred. We set up ourselves sometimes with these standards that we can't live up to, and when we don't reach it, then we're just devastated. You know, I mean, to the point where sometimes people take their lives because they had failed their own expectations, which God never put on them. The devil is good at giving you a false burden. He'll dump all kinds of stuff that God never said you had to do. He said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But the enemy will just try to make you bog you down with stuff so that you're not productive anywhere. You're doing all kinds of good stuff, but you're not doing the right thing. I want to do the right thing. I want to listen to the Lord. The reason I don't want to submit to my flesh is because sin has consequences. And ultimately, folks, hell is the final destination of those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the word of the Lord. That's not my word. This is God's word. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. In Revelation 21, verse 6 through 8, Jesus said, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Who are those who thirst? Those who realize that they are poor in spirit. Those who don't think that within themselves they stand. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Who are the overcomers? Our faith. Faith what? Faith in Christ alone. Faith in God's ability and not in myself. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, it also means those who practice witchcraft, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many would agree with me today that it's very important that we pray? It's very important that we do not allow Amalek to have the upper hand in our lives. How many realize that you can give very easily the devil the upper hand simply by disconnecting from the Lord? Simply by allowing the devil to lie to you and to tell you that you're doing okay. That you don't really need to pray and seek his face. Come on. I could give you a list of names of people who at one time were coming faithfully, were walking with the Lord, but they began to little by little slip away. And the Amalek spirit was there waiting for them to get a little weak. And the stragglers are the ones, folks, that were lagging behind. You know what I'm talking about? They weren't up with the group. They were straggling behind. How many have seen Wild Kingdom? Wild Kingdom is going back a few years. But some of those nature shows where the lion looks for the weak ones, usually in the herd. The water buffalo, right? the one that's kind of been separated out. Because he knows that if he tries to attack the herd itself, he's going to be in trouble. So he looks for the straggler. He looks for the one who's weak. And the enemy wants to weaken you and I. And he wants us to believe that we can stand within ourselves. Because when we do that, we are the most vulnerable. It is not in the time often of difficulty, but it's in the place of refreshing that we can be the most vulnerable to the attack of the flesh. Because then we have a tendency to let ourselves go. And then the enemy knows that. And his whole purpose is to abort God's plan and God's destiny for your future. So let us arise as the people of God. Let us join together as Moses was with Aaron and Hur, amen, that we might pray together, that we might hold one another's arms up, and that we may also hold up those who are going through some stuff right now. There are many that are going through different battles. And if you aren't right now, just wait a little while because you'll go through a battle. Amen? And we want to pray for those who are going through it right now. And if we will stick together, and we will stick together in the herd, if you will, then God is going to give us victory after victory. This church will grow. It will blossom. It will bear fruit. It will destroy the works of the devil. It will advance the kingdom of our God. And the time is coming when Jesus is going to return. And I don't want to be found camping in that day. Hallelujah.